Do you shop online at popular places like Amazon, 1-800-Flowers, Orbitz, Family Christian Stores, Groupon, Lego, Old Navy, and more? You can help us raise funds for the station with one quick stop before you shop. Please go to shopkkxx.com before you shop online, and popular merchants like Amazon.com will donate a portion of your purchase to the station. It's that simple. Just one quick stop at shopkkxx.com, and you can help us continue this great Christian programming.
Sometimes insurance can be a confusing business. I can't stress enough the importance of having a single professional insurance agent to help make sense of all your personal and business insurance policies. You don't want to get caught without the right coverage. For all your insurance needs, trust Brad Jacobson, your local Farmers Insurance agent. Call 891-7900 for a free consultation and a policy review. 891-7900 for Brad Jacobson, your local Farmers Insurance agent.
And Andy's Bullseye Repair.
Specializing in auto glass repair from bullseyes to full glass replacement. All insurance and major credit cards accepted. Call for a free estimate at 877-7387. 877-7387.
Welcome to the North Valley's own Jerry O'Lennon. On KKXX Life Radio, this is Live Local Talk.
Good morning. Thanks for joining us on this pleasant day here in Chico. I'm Jerry O'Lennon. I'm joined, as I am on most every Wednesday, with Gidi Hansen of The Growing Place. We talk about various issues that counselors deal with. And this one seems a little, to some of us, I think might seem so out of the ordinary, because to me it was seems like it would be something that would affect so few people, but I might be wrong. We're talking about people, self-mutilation. And it seems so, we're not talking about suicide, we're talking about something different than that. And Gidi Hansen is here, we're going to talk about it for the next few weeks. And she joins us today. Good morning, Gidi.
Good morning.
Now, this is interesting. So, why don't we start off by, I guess, describing what self-mutilation is and, you know, how many people that are involved in this.
Well, self-harm or self-mutilation is when one deliberately injures one's own body, and it can include cutting or burning or hitting. There's lots of different ways that people do it. And as you said, it's not about suicide at all. It's a way to regulate one's mood. So when people get very anxious or they're in turmoil or their thoughts are racing, and they need a quick relief, they will engage in some kind of self-harm because it can distract them from the real issue, but it's also a physical quick release for anxiety and inner turmoil.
But aren't there other ways? Aren't there other ways in which people can get rid of that type of?
Absolutely. There are much more healthy ways of doing it. There's much, much more healthy ways of doing it, but unfortunately...
So why would somebody choose something so that would harm them?
Well, you know, that's such a great question. And people choose it because it's a quick fix to a long, deep problem. Just to show you the scope of this, research has shown that 14% to 38% of adolescents and college-age people engage in self-harm. This began in the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. And the most common is cutting, but other types include burning, hair pulling, skin picking, interfering with the healing process like picking at scabs, self-hitting, and also intentionally inducing bleeding.
Well, you see, I'm having a difficult time connecting this. I'm speaking to Gidi Hansen of The Growing Place. She's a marriage and family therapist, registered intern who is working toward gaining her license in therapy as well as a professional clinical counselor. And she helps people who have issues like this and maybe nothing quite as extreme as this. But
Well, here, maybe if I put it this way, it'll make more sense. Mm-hmm. It's a coping mechanism for things that I cannot control. Okay, I cannot control, let's say, an adolescent in her home, and the parents fight constantly. Mm-hmm. And she's thinking, I cannot control mom and dad's fighting, but I can control this razor blade. And I can have total control in this moment of what happens. And when I induce physical pain, not enough to kill myself, but just enough physical pain, it'll distract me from the screaming and the yelling that's going on in the other room, and I am in total control.
Is it a way, Gidi, for a child in this case that you mentioned, in order to get attention from the parents and say, look what you are doing to me, stop this fighting?
It can definitely be a cry for help, and we treat it as a cry for help. Mm-hmm. It's done by folks who just feel so overwhelmed by uncontrollable circumstances that they seek control, which is similar to anorexia. Mm-hmm. You know, starving oneself is also about control. When my life is out of control, there's one thing I can still do. I can control what goes into my mouth.
But why does somebody want to harm themselves? I'm having such of a difficult time.
It's an expression of pain.
Is it because they're looking for sympathy? They're looking for some attention? They're looking for... this is a hard question for me.
These are all viable reasons. Uh-huh. But from what I have observed as a clinician is they are looking to release pain and tension. It's an anxiety coping mechanism. Like some people to do that will go for a run. Mm-hmm. It's also involving the body.
Okay.
You know,
some sort of physical activity.
Some people will go vent on someone and pick an argument with someone to release anxiety.
Right.
Some people will binge drink or binge eat.
Some people lose their temper.
Some people will yell. Lose their temper.
Some people will cry.
Exactly.
It's a release.
Other people do more underground activities that are quiet, like cutting or burning or hair pulling. And, you know, really like picking at your cuticles. We see this around us all the time. Why do people suddenly start biting their fingernails or picking at their cuticles or pulling out their eyelashes or their eyebrows or their hair? You know, I've had clients with whole patches of hair missing on their head because when they get anxious, they're not even aware of it. They're dissociating in the moment. Mm-hmm. They're zoning out. But they're pulling hair out.
Yeah, it seems so counterproductive because if you're feeling such pain that you'd want to do something like this, wouldn't you want to do something that would be more productive, like ease the pain, like maybe take a nap or drink a soft drink or do something that's going to make it alleviated? Why would you want to do something that would seem to exasperate the pain that you're already feeling, perhaps emotionally, to create more pain physically? We're talking to Gidi Hansen of The Growing Place, and if you want to give her a call about talking about issues like this or whatever it may be, if you're having family problems, marriage problems, she comes with a Christian background, and I know that's important. Although she doesn't have to be, you don't have to be a Christian or a person of faith to go to The Growing Place, but certainly Christians would do very well there. And Gidi Hansen's phone number at The Growing Place over on East Avenue is 588-0448. We'll be right back and continue this discussion after the break.
Are you a Christian looking to align your faith and finances? Then you will want to check out Thrivent Financial. We're not your typical financial service provider. We're a not-for-profit Fortune 500 organization that helps our nearly 2.4 million members to be wise with money. We provide guidance that reflects your values so you can protect what matters most. We help members live generously and strengthen the communities where they live, work, and worship. Learn more about the Thrivent story by contacting financial advisor Daniel Cluis at 530-321-4059.
I started my adventure in the Air Force Reserve as a payload system operator.
A flight medic in the Air Force Reserve.
I'm a pilot for the Air Force Thunderbirds demonstration team.
We do a lot in a little bit of time, and we have to do it very efficiently.
It's a very exciting career.
The Reserve gave me the opportunity to learn something totally different from what I did.
The training in the Air Force Reserve is second to none.
The most exciting thing in the Air Force Reserve is to be able to travel.
It gave me the opportunity to go to college.
That was definitely a bonus.
And the Air Force Reserve gave me all those opportunities, and then even more.
Start your adventure in the Air Force Reserve.
To our show.
I'm Scott Allred.
I'm Ben Taney.
I'm Trisha Coder.
And I'm Christine McShane.
This is Jessica Wilkerson, one of your hosts of Chico Now.
A half hour designed for the community and brought to you by the community.
Each day, one of our hosts will join with people from organizations throughout the greater Chico area.
We want to let you know what's happening in Chico Now.
So join us at 12:30, Monday through Friday, here on KKXX for Chico Now.
This is Live Local Talk.
We all have problems, but how we cope with them in different ways is the key. I mean, we all, I think, have problems, and it's hard to acknowledge that. Some of the problems are more obvious, particularly when you see some of the things that people do to themselves, which I was not aware of. Gidi Hansen is with A Growing Place, marriage and family therapist, intern who is working on her license. And I guess you've got another, you're pretty close.
Well, I hope so. I've sent in my 3,330 hours to the California Board of Behavioral Sciences, and I'm just waiting to hear they're okay to clear me to take the two exams. I have to pass the first one before I can take the second one. However, I have a lot of studying to do before
then.
Then
you would become a licensed
licensed therapist.
And that, how soon could that be, best case?
I'm hoping this year.
Oh, good. That's exciting. But you're still seeing clients and helping people.
Yes.
We talk about ways in which people are coping with stress, and I guess we're assuming it's always young people that are doing this. What are the demographics of people who self-harm and self-mutilate?
It is mostly the young, teenagers, you know, adolescents and college age people are the ones who are doing this the most. And, you know, researchers have hypothesized that part of the problem that this is such an epidemic is our society's preoccupation with death, violence, and injury. Mm-hmm. I just went to the movies. I recommend The Woman in Gold. It's
good movie.
A great movie. You will love it. It's an excellent movie.
Uh-huh.
But the previews, all this darkness and violence and things blowing up and survival and, you know, a lot of these adolescents, that's all they've known. That's all they've been shown. It's called entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And so self-injury and danger and risk and harm become viable solutions. That's one hypothesis.
Video, by the way, it's worth mentioning video games, too, in particular.
Yes.
I mean, the Mortal Kombat, the something on duty or on call, whatever it is. I mean, Call of Duty or whatever it is, where the people are blowing people up. And I mean, it's just a regular feature that young people. I mean, even before, 10 and 11-year-olds are playing these games. It just doesn't seem right.
Your mind becomes preoccupied with all of that. But the worst part of it is, the individual becomes desensitized.
Yeah, yeah.
And then a person becomes an object. And then they objectify themselves. They depersonalize themselves. But let me tell you what self-injurers report. They say that it helps them feel alive, because one segment of self-injurers are people who feel very numb and zoned out. They're deadened. You know, it could be depression, but because life seems so overwhelming, they deaden their emotions to the point where they just feel like zombies. So a little bit of physical pain, like pricking their skin or pulling out hair, reminds them that they're alive.
Now, this is different. If there's something else I didn't want to interrupt, but I had
a
question.
No, please
do. It seems that how is this differentiate? It still seems difficult for me to understand. When does a counselor, when it gets to be so serious, where you're like, I mean, are people at the Growing Place qualified to handle something as severe as people doing physical damage to themselves? Or does this require something much greater psychiatric treatment, because it just seems so out of the norm?
That's a great question. And that's something that every counselor has to assess, when to refer out to an MD or to a psychiatrist. And very often, medication is one of the protocols for self-harm.
Okay.
So we can refer out to a psychiatrist to get the proper medications, but they could still continue counseling with us. And ethically speaking, anytime a counselor is working outside of their scope of competency, which means an area that they are trained and qualified to work in, then they should refer out. But it is so prevalent, Jerry. You'd be surprised at how many people are doing this. And it is something that, you know, can be treated.
Are there numbers, like statistics, that tell us what percentage is? I mean, is it?
Yeah, the one that I found was 14 to 38% of adolescents and college-age kids, which is pretty high.
That is, but, okay, but again, we're talking about degrees.
And these are just the reported ones.
Right.
We don't know about the unreported ones.
But somebody biting their nails, I guess, would be put into that category.
Not necessarily. I mean, biting nails is a sign of anxiety, but if you're biting the nail to the quick to induce pain and bleeding, that's one thing.
Right. Because somebody wants to feel the pain?
Yes.
Is it sort of a masochistic kind of thing?
Is that
what leads to it? Because you hear about people who enjoy pain in different parts of their lives. It could develop into that.
It could develop into that, but it's basically a way to regulate anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically a way to have control when life feels out of control.
Okay, so what the person is saying is, okay, I don't have control over my relationship with my family. I don't have control over a job or something going on, but I can control my body, and if I could do with it what I want to, and nobody can stop me.
You got it.
Okay, we're going to wrap up our discussion with Yidi Hansen of The Growing Place, and we'll be talking about self-harm over the next few weeks here every Wednesday morning at 8:30 on KKXX. Yidi Hansen of The Growing Place. If you might give her a call for any issues that you might have. She takes clients. Her phone number is 588-0448. 588-0448. We'll be back after this.
Today, my new dad and I shot off a rocket in the park.
Today, my new son and I failed to shoot off a rocket.
The rocket launched into the air.
And then crashed into the pond.
I'll never forget that day.
I'll never forget that day, even if I tried.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of kids in foster care will take you just as you are. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Hi guys, this is Tess, your host for Let's Talk. Join us for our show on Saturday and Sunday mornings at 9:30. We bring in doctors from the community to talk about various issues on health, how to prevent disease. There are lifestyle issues that if we change, did you know that even diabetes can be reversed? Well, I want you to join us Saturday and Sunday mornings at 9:30. See you there.
Hey, this is Reba McEntire, and I wanted to talk to you about a serious problem right here in our own backyard. Did you know that there are nearly 16 million kids struggling with hunger in America? That's why the Feeding America Nationwide Network of Food Banks collects surplus food, engaging their communities in solving hunger and giving hope to hungry kids and their families. But they need your help. Support Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hey, need a lift? Just keep listening. Right here. Life Radio, KKXX, AM and FM.
Welcome to the North Valley's own Jerry O'Lennon.
Ask yourself, what kind of example are you setting for others?
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
On KKXX Life Radio, this is Live Local Talk.
One of the strangest things, because I remember when it happened, I think it was sort of in the early 80s, and I can't remember the time. I should have looked it up in the commercial break, but Karen Carpenter, just this beautiful voice and a beautiful young lady. And I remember at the time, it seemed new, because again, this was 30 years ago. She starved herself. She had anorexia. And she and people didn't understand. And I honestly, I still have a hard time understanding. And we're kind of talking about that self-harm and how people can create physical harm to their bodies. We'll be talking about that for the next few weeks with Yidi Hansen at The Growing Place. And Yidi, I know that you too are a fan of Karen Carpenter.
Yes.
It's hard to understand. And I go to that because some of the statistics, you know, are that women are more likely to be involved in self-harm than men.
Yes. At least that's what's being reported, mm-hmm. is that females are twice as likely as males to self-harm. But it's not a suicide attempt.
Mm-hmm.
It can be a cry for help. And people who self-harm are already in pain. Mm-hmm. They want to live, but they don't know how to regulate their emotions, and especially anxiety. So the self-harm helps people disconnect from that inner turmoil that they're feeling. And when life feels out of control, self-harm is a way to regain control.
That's so interesting.
It's called a dysfunction because it feels like a reasonable solution to an unreasonable situation.
But doesn't people's natural, you know, just their minds kick in? And for instance, just take the Karen Carpenter situation. Can she look in the mirror and say, wait a minute, look what I'm doing to myself? Or somebody who mutilates their arm and scratches themselves, they could look in the mirror, they could look at themselves and say, look what I did, I scratched my face up, look, I'm causing myself more damage. Can't somebody look at that in the Karen Carpenter situation and say, I'm doing damage to myself?
That's a beautiful perspective. If one can step back far enough to get that view, that's a wake-up call. And some people do, and that's really good. But think of the alcoholic who drinks to forget, uh-huh, or the drug addict. You know, when we're dealing with an addiction or a compulsion, we lose perspective. We don't think it through. We don't look at the big picture. We just need the immediate relief. Mm-hmm. And so the self-harm, as strange as it seems, provides immediate relief. Here's another example where somebody who doesn't engage in self-harm regularly may harm themselves in order to regulate themselves socially. You know, some people, if they're in a social situation and their feelings get hurt and they feel like they're going to cry, but they don't want to cry, they might out of sight pinch their leg or give themselves a little prick of physical pain, which immediately alerts the body to direct its attention to something else. That's similar to cutting or self-harm.
But that actually kind of makes sense, though. That actually seems like not a bad strategy, if the way you said it anyway.
Yeah, this is like, you know, once in a lifetime, occasionally. This is to help you and the listeners understand why somebody would even be drawn to this. I don't want to cry. And the tears are coming. So I'm going to bite my tongue. I'm going to pinch my leg so that I can distract myself from the pain.
But that would seem to be almost a positive thing, where you're saying, I'm going to give myself a reminder where, okay, I'm about to lose my cool. I'm about to cry. I'm about to say something I shouldn't. I need some sort of kick in the butt, a reminder. Don't do this. I'm going to pinch myself. Okay. That's almost like a hypnotic moment where you're saying, I'm going to give myself a warning not to allow this to happen. Could that be viewed upon as something that would be positive in a strange way?
Well, no? I think there are better coping mechanisms. Let's just put it that way.
Well, I'm not saying to physically
I would never advise
themselves, someone
to do this.
But
and it might lead to self-harm. But there are better coping mechanisms. But I wanted to give an example that maybe the listeners could relate to.
Yeah, go ahead.
So anyway, studies suggest that people self-harm to, number one, reduce negative emotions. Okay. So this would include anger, depression, anxiety, racing thoughts, feeling out of control. So they self-harm to reduce that. Sometimes people self-harm to avoid uncomfortable social situations, which I just described. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm in a situation with people. I don't want to, quote unquote, lose my cool or lose control, so I'm going to self-harm. Some people self-harm because they feel dead or numb, and it actually helps them to feel alive and connected to their bodies. They're so dissociated and depersonalized from their own lives that they need a little jolt of pain to get them back in their bodies.
Okay.
Some people self-harm as a cry for help, and this is especially among adolescents and younger adolescents. They want somebody to realize they're in pain, and they can't voice it, so their body speaks for them. And then some people self-harm as a form of self-punishment, self-rejection, and self-loathing. So these are just, research has shown these reasons for self-harming.
I guess when I was talking to you a minute earlier about, there's a difference between self-harm and giving yourself just a reminder, maybe some sort of psychological reminder, not to physically harm yourself, but maybe just, you know, maybe I got to just pinch myself or have something that reminds myself, okay, this is not what I'm supposed to do. I mean, I know that people who get involved in hypnosis do that kind of thing. I was wondering if that is something that would be positive as opposed to, I mean, how harmful does it have to be something to be concerned with?
It has to be harmful enough to interrupt your everyday activities. Mm-hmm. And, you know, any dysfunction has to be harmful enough to not allow you to engage mm-hmm. with family, friends, school, work, occupation.
Okay.
We all do things that, you know, maybe aren't the best things we should do, mm-hmm. but as long as we're functioning, we don't call it a dysfunction.
Right.
But when we stop being able to function, when cutting becomes my preoccupation, mm-hmm. when it's something I look forward to and plan for, when on days when it's 102 degrees outside, I'm wearing long sleeves and long pants because I don't want anyone to see the scratches, then I've got a problem.
Right, right. Well, we only have about another short time left on the show. And I want to make sure that if anybody has these type of issues, they should get some help.
They should, and we have plenty of counselors at the Growing Place
and
who
the growing
can help.
Yeah, Growing Place number is 588-0448. Certainly, Gidi is qualified to help in these areas or any other areas involving counselors or for youth or depression or addictions or marriage problems. You can call Gidi or one of the other counselors at the Growing Place. The number is 588-0448. We have just a little bit. No,
Can I just preview the next show?
We have about 30 seconds.
Okay, for the next show, we're going to talk about what to do about this.
Yeah.
We've outlined what the problem is and how prevalent it is. It's actually an epidemic in America and maybe even worldwide. I didn't read worldwide research.
Right.
But definitely in America it is. And so next time we're going to talk about what to do.
All right. Gidi, thank you so much. We'll see you next Wednesday.
Thanks for
listening, everybody. So long. Have a good day.
Holbrook's Clearance Center, the North State's number one furniture liquidators.
Holbrook's Clearance Center sells national name brand furniture at 50 to 75% off retail.
Holbrook's has national name brand mattresses, twin, full, queens, and kings, starting at just $99.
Bunk beds, $299.
Holbrook's has something comfortable for every room in your home, and we'll sell you the inventory right off the floor.
Holbrook's Clearance Center is everything for your home.
Come on down, see us. Open 7 days a week.
This is Pastor Glenn from Butte Bible Fellowship. Just thought I'd share something with you for a minute. Don't forget your purpose. Romans 5:20, where we see an increase of sin, God's grace much more abounds. Don't let the world surroundings of the world around you pull you down. And I think there's a tendency to let that happen sometimes. We just get discouraged and pulled down by what we see around us. But with the eyes of faith, we must see that we are, as believers, are the light in a dark world, and we're the salt of the earth. So we have a purpose, even in darkness. And we must not let darkness put out the light, even at the times when that light may be just flickering. Sometimes we just kind of feel like we're losing it, but we can't let the world around us put that light out. We must not lose our saltiness and lose our spiritual savor. Let us not be robbed of the joy of our salvation. So God bless you today.